Wolverine. So I was reminded in the Sunday school this morning that the passage that Lorraine read John Calvin, one of my favorite theologians, really the founder of the Reformed tradition and the Presbyterian Church, he actually believed that the highest calling, the most important vocation, was the vocation of the magistrate. And Jeremiah's passage is he's talking to the people who are the kings and leaders of Israel, and the fact that they are not acting righteously, but they're acting in such ways that people are suffering as a result of their decisions. And so when Jeremiah says, the day is coming when I'm going to bring forth a shepherd for Israel who will shepherd my people, will bring them back, and will welcome all who have been marginalized, Jeremiah is making a claim of God's intention for how the world ought to work. And we get that, and the second passage today is we're kind of continuing here in the Gospel of Mark, and I wrote down what the lectionary said, but I'm going to kind of do a little preacher prerogative because they left out a big chunk of this, and I think I want to go ahead and explore that a little bit with us today too. But it begins in I'm just going to read the part that is in the bulletin, and then I'm going to go ahead and explore a little bit more the rest of it. So, what we've had is the apostles have gone out. Jesus sent them out to two by two to share the gospel and to bring the good news that Jesus is bringing, and to bring healing and wholeness to the communities that they visit. And so they go out and they do this. Then we get this break in between where we hear of the death of John the Baptist. And we know that Jesus was very close to John. And as John has now disappeared, Jesus is pretty much left alone in bringing this news of repentance to the community. And what Jesus is saying is obviously very, people love it. People love hearing that they are loved and that God's love extends even to them. So we pick up the passage here in chapter 6 and in verse 30, and we're told that the apostle gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and all that they had taught. And he said to them, "Let's go to a deserted place all by ourselves where we can rest for a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure, not even time to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. But many who saw them going recognized them, and they all hurried on foot, and all of them went to the towns ahead of them. And when they had crossed over, so in the in-between time, I guess I do need to back up a little bit. When evening came, Jesus made them get on a boat, and they were going out across the sea, and the apostles, that is, and Jesus went off to a place where he could be alone on the land. And when he saw that they were straining against the oars against an adverse wind, he came toward them early in the morning, walking on the water. He intended to pass them by, but when they saw that it was Jesus walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately Jesus said to them and spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And then he got in the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. And when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret, and they moored the boat. And when they got out of the boat, the people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began bringing to him people on mats who were sick, to wherever they heard that Jesus was or where he was going. And wherever he went, into the villages or the cities or the towns, they laid the sick in the marketplaces, and they begged him that they might touch the fringe of his cloak. and all who touched even the fringe of his cloak, they were healed. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, descend afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, descend afresh on us. Lord God, that your word may not return empty. Amen. So, I went ahead with what the lectionary said, because the lectionary is really keen this week on having a shepherd, and a shepherd who looks after the most important needs of the sheep, you know, of those for whom the shepherd is responsible. And among those needs is this need for rest. And so as we explore this passage, we've got this kind of tug-of-war going on, that Jesus, like a good shepherd, like a good parent, is saying to the people that he's responsible for, wow, you have been pushing too hard. This is too much. We have to stop. We have to take a break. We have to get some rest. And Jesus, he kind of says, well, we're going to go out on the sea. We're going to wander away. We're going to this different place. And as Jesus and his apostles, they go where they've had the big crowds. They're seeking to get away from the crowds. They get in the boat. The crowds figure out where they're going. And they go ahead so that when Jesus gets off the boat with his apostles, there's already this tremendous crowd of people. They're showing up for the picnic. And they're gonna have a picnic, and there's gonna be burgers and hot dogs, and no, that's not what it's like. They all showed up, but as far as Jesus knew, they didn't have anything to eat. Now I gotta tell you, for our picnic today, we've had people working all week figuring out how we're gonna do this, making sure that there's enough provisions so that there's plenty for everybody, and we're gonna go out and we're gonna have a celebration, and we're gonna play, and we're gonna eat well, and we're gonna meet one another, we're gonna get close to one another, we're gonna express our love. We've got this picnic thing organized. That's not what happened in Jesus' case. He had, I don't know, the story says that they fed 5,000 men. That didn't count the women and children. So it was a big gathering. A lot of people saw where Jesus was going, and they went ahead of him in order to be there when he arrived, because Jesus had something that they needed. And so when they got off the boat, again, they were just absolutely overwhelmed by the crowd. And they were supposed to be going there to get a little rest and relaxation, and that's not playing out very well for them. And so you have this, so have you ever had people show up to your house or your place kind of unexpected at dinner time? and you're going, I got to feed these people. I don't know what I'm going to give them. Well, so when 5,000 people show up to your backyard, and they've shown up because you are the star of the show, and you're thinking, well, I have to be a good host. In Jewish law, it is essential that you be a good host when people come to your space. And so here's Jesus, and he says, well, we got to feed these people. And the apostles say, what, are you crazy? We don't have enough money in the treasury. If we go out and buy all the food that is available in the surrounding area, we do not have enough money to feed this crowd. And we can't get enough provisions, and let's send them away so they can go and get their own food. And Jesus says, no, we're going to take care of it. What do we have? 5 loaves, 2 fish. You know, I love this thing when my head goes, so what happened that day? Jesus broke the bread and divided up the fish, and he started giving it out, and everybody sat down in their groups of 50 or their groups of 100. And there's this place in my mind where I go, I'm old enough that I really loved, in my youthful, irresponsible days, I loved going to watch the movie Fantasia. Now, there's a subtext there, and some of us who are my age know that. But I would go watch Fantasia, and when Mickey Mouse started with the spells, and all of a sudden things started dividing, you know, and the buckets started multiplying, and the buckets of water, and the brooms, and the mops, and he was all of a sudden he's up to his neck in water. He has created a catastrophe because. And I kind of have that vision of how did Jesus do this? How did Jesus make 5 loaves and 2 fish feed 5,000 people? Now, some people, you know, it could be like manna from heaven. I don't know what happened, and I'm comfortable with whatever. But I kind of like the idea, well, people saw Jesus being generous and thought, wow, what did I in fact bring? Do I have enough for me and enough to share for somebody who didn't bring something? And as people saw one another being generous, they kind of stepped into that, and they actually found the ability, not only was there enough for everybody, not only in God's abundance to individual people who took care of their own selves, not only was there enough for everyone who had brought food, but there was plenty for everybody else. And when they picked up the leftovers, 12 baskets were left over. 12 baskets of bread and fish and sandwich parts and hot dogs and cheese and strawberries. And there was plenty. There was plenty for everybody. And we hold that to our lives. And we look at how much we have or don't have. And how we can share our love, we can share our time, we can share our treasure, and we can actually meet the needs of people who people our world. There's enough. In God's wisdom and in God's abundance, there is enough. And can we be motivated by looking at God's generosity, at Christ's generosity, at the generosity of the apostles, at the generosity of the people we know, and be motivated to reach into our abundance and meet the needs of the people who surround us? Can we be those good shepherds who provide for the sheep in that way? But, you know, they got done with that, and it's kind of fun. In the scripture, it says, and then Jesus made them get in the boat. So I do, you know, Karen and I have this place on the lake, it's really neat. When I go out, we just have a little floaty boat. And when I go out on the boat, I don't take my computer with me. And I don't have to answer any emails. I take the phone, but I turn off the ringer. I only have it there in the event that I have to start paddling back and it's too far from me, as old as I am. But, you know, when you're on a boat, you pretty much got to rest, right? It just seems like that, unless the wind comes up. And then you find yourself paddling against the storm. So here Jesus, once again, trying to get his apostles to take a break, to get some rest, to go out on the tranquil water and kind of bob across to Bethesda. And that's kind of the idea. And the storm comes up, and he looks out. Jesus, as he's finding that place within himself to rest, he stays on the land and he watches as a storm comes up, and they're paddling against the storm, they're rowing against the storm, and they're not making any headway. In fact, they get blown so far off course that when Jesus goes out in the morning to meet them and he's walking on the water, which is another thing that I don't really understand, but Jesus is walking on the water, but as he gets out to them, And the storm calms and he's with them. When they arrive at shore, they're not going to Bethesda, which was their appointed place to go, but they are now in Gennesaret, which is further south by probably 20 miles. And so they've been totally blown off course. Everything they thought they were going to do didn't work out that way. They have been looking for rest, and what they found was additional work and a little bit of terror that comes with that. And it felt like there was never any space around them. And they get off, and here they are in the place. And the last time we were over in Gennesaret was when Jesus encountered the man that was possessed by so many demons. And so the people, though, they had, at that point, they came and they asked him to leave. He scared them. But by now, people have heard of him. They've realized what happened to this person who they used to be terribly afraid of, and they're not afraid of anymore. And when Jesus comes, the people are glad to see him. They're welcoming of him. They go to wherever he's going to be, and they just, they're not particularly demanding. They're not overwhelming in that sort of way where he's tripping over them. But wherever he goes, people just ask to be present with him, to touch the hem of his garment. And the scripture tells us that anyone who even touches the hem of his garment finds themselves made well. They show up. They come to meet the Christ, the living God. And they're not even demanding much. They're not asking for anything overwhelming. They're just kind of want to be present. And Jesus makes space for that. And those who are weary, and those who are sick, and those who are fearful, find that simply by being in the presence of Jesus, their lives line out again, and they are made whole. They're made whole in Christ, and they're made whole with one another. And it all started with a picnic. So I'm going to stop talking now so that we can get on to what's coming next. So